The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
And welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 3 of Timeless. And this was the episode where time stood still, and oh my god, did it ever.
Oh, it did. Oh, it did.
So, we open the episode, and I'm going to get to the big moments, but I'm just going to set this up. So, we open the episode, it's about 1926 in Hollywood, and a Rittenhouse agent is being dropped off by his father, because, you know, dad drops you off back in time. That's always a great parental child bonding moment. Anyway, so the kid gets dropped off in 1926, and the father takes off, and, you know, basically he's a sleeper agent. That's what he's here to do. So, we fast forward 15 years later, it's 1941, and we're in old Hollywood, classic Hollywood. We see the same kid who is aged 15 years. He's a high-end, high-ranking producer at Paramount. He's settled in, he's great, and who walks up but dear old dad saying, "It's time, son, it's time," which has me a little worried. It's like, oh god, what are y'all gonna blow up now?
Something's going down.
Something's going down.
It's going down for reals.
So, we fast forward to the future, Lucy and Rufus and Wyatt, they're all concerned about Gia because her condition is worsening. They want her to also go see a doctor. Gia doesn't want to do it, and so basically there's tension there, and in the meantime, they all get the call, the mothership is jumped to 1941 Hollywood. None of them know why. There's nothing that really is going on then, you know, other than World War II. And so...
You know, that little thing.
That little conflict, but this is Hollywood, it's not European or Pacific theater, so nothing momentous is going on there. So once again, they go see Dr. Garcia Flynn. He's been stabbed in the cafeteria by a prisoner, so he's getting medical treatment, and he accuses Rittenhouse of doing the stabbing, and he's like, they're just going to keep sending agents because, you know, somebody wants him dead.
Right.
So he's like, they ask him, well, what's going on in 1941 Hollywood? We need your help. And he's like, no, you get me out of here. You get me out of here, and then we'll talk. And Agent Christopher's like, yeah, so you just killed somebody? Because, by the way, Garcia killed the guy that stabbed him, because, of course, he did.
He ripped out his intestines or something? He did esophagus.
Yeah, he ripped out his esophagus, which is always pleasant. So Agent Christopher is like, yeah, you know, here's the thing about that. I can't get you out on good behavior, so we're going to have to figure out another way. So he's like, okay, fine. So he tells them, you know, basically there's a sleeper agent in 1941 Hollywood. He draws out a little diagram for them. And when they all jump, they steal some fantastic clothes. Lucy's especially. Love the blue dress with the hat. Stunning. And we follow the diagram to Paramount Studios, where we sneak onto the lot, and we're walking around, we get busted by the security guard, and they get drugged to the studio head's office, and Rufus is pretending to be famed poet and writer Langston Hughes, to where they then proceed to pitch... What did they pitch?
A musical?
They pitched Hamilton.
Yeah.
That's what they pitched. They pitched Hamilton. And the studio head's like, yeah, that'll never work.
That'll never work.
Which is like, oh god.
First modern day reference of the evening.
And then, you know, they pitch basically the true Rittenhouse story, and the guy's like, no, that's been done, that's been overdone, I want something new and fresh. And as they're, you know, basically being backed into a corner, in walks Heidi Lamarr. Oh, she's beautiful. The chick they got to play her is gorgeous. And so she wants, you know, her script rewritten, and the studio head is like, of course, and Lucy fawns all over her, and she's like, yeah, you just have to stand there and look stupid. And Lucy's like, right. Because for those of you that don't know, Heidi Lamarr was a genius, an absolute genius, which we're going to get into. So they all get introduced, and we find out that they're going to a party that night at Beverly House, which is William Randolph Hearst's Beverly Hills home. So our trio decides to sneak in to this party. And this is after, you know, or I should say, let me back up. And as we're all leaving the office, basically somebody bursts in and they're like, oh, RKO number, I forget what it was. It was RKO 281. RKO 281.
RKO out of nowhere?
Yeah, there you go. RKO out of nowhere, 281, is missing. And we come to find out RKO 281 is the code name for Citizen Kane, which we get they write a little history on that. I don't know if it's entirely true, but basically Citizen Kane is I don't want to say parody, but that's the best word I could come up with right now, of William Randolph Hearst and his life. So basically Citizen Kane is supposedly William Randolph Hearst and basically all the bad things that he's done, and it's a portrayal of him. And so the film conveniently goes missing, and we find out that Hearst would do anything to stop that film from being put out. So it's like, okay, well, what is Hearst the Rittenhouse agent? Because they still don't know who the Rittenhouse agent is. So we all decide we're going to Hearst for the party. We break into the costume department. We pick out clothes because that's what they do now. They don't have a stock of clothes. They steal clothes, which I kind of like. And just, you know, a fun fact of trivia here, Lucy emerges in a gown that was very similar, if not the same, which was worn by Katharine Hepburn in the Philadelphia story. They either recreated it or they got the same gown. I'm not sure which. They probably recreated it.
Probably recreated it. It'd probably be cheaper that way.
But the dress was gorgeous. And the boys are all dapper in their suits. So as we're going into the party, we're trying to figure out how to get in. And they run into Hetty again. And so she drags Rufus in and she's like, yeah, you know, so tell me about your latest work and da 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 da. And then he proceeds to do.
She wanted some poetry.
Well, Rock, what was the poetry?
In West Philadelphia, born.
Sitting here like, no, he's not doing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's doing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I was eating dinner at the time I was watching it, and I was like, yep, that was special. We're gonna eat another French fry. I'm good.
So, I pop for that, he pop for that. Heidi Lamar is like, that was crap. Who are you really? Because she's like, you know, I looked you up, and you don't look anything like your bio photo, so who are you really? And he's like,
I'm screwed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm screwed. I'm so screwed. And they're like, oh, well, we're friends of Orson Welles. And they tell her basically that Citizen Kane is missing. And by this point, the trio is all reunited. And so she agrees to help them try and get Citizen Kane back. So Heidi and Rufus follow Hearst and the Rittenhouse agent, because at the party, they see them together and they go off on their own. And so Rufus and Heidi follow him to try and listen in on that conversation, and Wyatt and Lucy create a diversion where Lucy sings.
And her first couple attempts were painful.
She's a little nervous.
Painful. They're painful.
She was a little nervous.
Yeah, we'll go with nervous.
And we see some eye connection between Lucy and Wyatt.
Well, you know, love is in the air tonight.
Because she sang "You Made Me Love Me." You Made Me Love You. I think it's the name of the song. Mm-hmm. So we go back to Rufus and Heidi, and she's basically explaining, you know, they're trying to do the whole listen through the wall trick, and they're doing the glass to the wall, and he still can't hear because they're too thick. So Heidi's like, well, you know, why don't we try this? So she pokes a hole in the wall, and then she's like, we just need some cellulose tape. And he's like, what, like scotch tape? And she goes, the brand doesn't matter.
I pop for that line.
That was hilarious. And he's like, right, sorry. And so she puts the tape over the wall, they put the glass there, and basically they get the information that the handoff for the film, you know, for this film exchange, where Rittenhouse has promised to give Hearst the film in exchange for Rittenhouse getting a column in his newspapers. This is all going to happen at noon the next day. Everybody's like, well, why would Rittenhouse want their own column? Easy. They can put out their own propaganda. Lucy says it. Information is power. News is power. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, newspapers were everything.
There was no social.
There was no social. There was no internet. There was no nothing. So you got your news through the newspaper. And, you know, basically she says that Hearst started the Spanish-American War primarily through propaganda in the newspapers. So Rittenhouse could easily rewrite history any way they want by having that column. So it's a huge, hugely influential thing for them to get. So they have to stop that. So, well, in the meantime, our heroes have to find a place to sleep. They bump into Heidi Lamar one more time, and she's like, hey, you know, come back to my house, and we'll hang out and chill and have fun. And so they do that, and this is where they had kind of talked about it through the whole story, but I kind of want to save it here, where if you don't know about Heidi Lamar, she was actually a genius. She was a scientist. She is credited with inventing essentially modern day Wi-Fi. That is her contribution to society, is she actually created the technology to make Wi-Fi possible. So we all owe her a huge debt of gratitude for that. So thumbs up. Thanks, Eddie. So we go back to her house. She's there with her inventing partner, and they're talking to Rufus, and they're kind of geeking out about it. And she's like, oh, well, I have this room where I invent things, so you should totally come see it, and your friends can, you know, just be here alone, because that's convenient.
Right.
We have some talk between Lucy and Wyatt, where it's the, oh, I thought you were dead, and I didn't care, but now I do. One thing leads to another. We end up in a bedroom, and oh, hey, look, Lucy and Wyatt bang each other.
She bangs.
It's just like, there it is. There's the fan service. Right there. It's like, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it tremendously. It was a little too easy, and...
Wait, are you calling Lucy easy?
No, I'm calling sex easy. That was just way too unobstructed. Something always happens in this show. So where's the obstruction to this? Anyway, we cut to the next morning. We don't actually see the act. Basically, we see them kiss. We cut to commercial. And when we come back, it's the next morning. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can keep this strictly professional. We won't tell anybody. We'll keep it between us. Yeah, we can totally do that. And Rufus walks in.
And then quickly walks away.
He's like, awkward.
I'll see myself out now.
He's like, I'm just going to be over here. And of course, the next scene is, so how was your night? You could tell me your night, how your night was. I'll keep it secret. Except from Gia. I'm going to totally tell Gia. But, you know, everyone else, I'm going to keep this quiet. And Wyatt's just like, would you stop?
It's like, was she a good bang? Did you enjoy it?
I want deets, dude.
Can we have the deets?
Need to know. This is a thing I need to know. And of course, Wyatt doesn't kiss and tell. So we're off to the rendezvous for Citizen Kane. Basically, Hearst is not there. He sends somebody to collect the film. They're making the deal, and Wyatt interrupts the deal, and somebody actually saw them sneak into the set. A security guard does. So the security guard actually breaks up the deal where he's like, you know, hey, you're not supposed to be in here, and he ends up getting shot. And so then there's a shootout between Wyatt and the Rittenhouse agent, and the dude is like yelling at them like, it, you know, 15 years of my life, you know, it's taken for this to happen. You're ruining everything. He's really pissed. But in the end, he ends up getting killed by Wyatt, and they're able to retrieve the film. And they end up having to leave the security guard, who is essentially dying or is already dead, because it's like, we can't be on the hook for this.
Yeah, we got to go.
We have to leave. So they end up dropping the film off with Hedy Lamarr, and she's like, well, what should I tell Orson? And he's like, you know, I'll just, you know, say some well-wishers found it or something, I don't know. And then Rufus is like, you know, hey, by the way, you know that patent that you're getting ready to apply for the Wi-Fi technology? And she's like, yeah. One thing that is a historical fact is she actually lets it expire in 1959, and the Navy then picks up the technology in, like, 61 or 62, and so then she never gets credit for it.
Right. And he made it a point to let her make sure, 1962, make sure you,
Yeah, make sure you renew the patent in 1959 when it's going to expire. And she's like, yeah, okay, all right, I'll do that. I'll totally do that. So we fast forward to the present, and Gia has seen the doctor. She's completely fine, except for the visions. And we find out she had a heart murmur that's been cured. Like, she's never been healthier. There's nothing that pops up on the scan. She's totally fine. And Connor's like, huh. And you see his little wheels turning. And Agent Christopher's like, the hell? So there's more on that score, I imagine, next episode. But then we have one more deed we have to do in the 1940s before we're done. And that is break Garcia Flynn out of prison. How do we do that, my fine people? Well, we break into where the prison is being built in the 40s. And we put a little package in there for Garcia Flynn in the 40s. And then Agent Christopher drops off a little map for him in the present to where he can, you know, go get his stuff. And that's exactly what happens. He's able to retrieve the package out of the spot. He breaks it all out where there's an ID and there's a key and there's a gas mask. And then all of a sudden there's a gas attack.
Amazingly how that happened.
Or a smoke attack or a fire or something that, you know, basically results in all the doors automatically being opened and enough smoke screen for Flynn to escape. And all the guards are disarmed, essentially. So he is able to get out of prison and meet up with them. So he gets what he wants there.
Right.
So yay for him.
Mm-hmm.
So we come back to the present day. Gia tells them she's fine. Lucy and Wyatt are trying to be professional, but totally not be professional.
They have that glow about them.
Wyatt is super not happy about Garcia being there. And then he gets a text message. Text Wyatt. Everybody's there. So he excuses himself, and he tells Agent Christopher to basically keep Flynn on a leash. And then, like, a few seconds later, the alarms start going off. Somebody's broken in. Oh, crap. Who's broken in? So we run. We have the really intense moment where Flynn's like, give me a gun. And Christopher's like, are you drunk? No, absolutely not. Not doing that. I know better with you. So we're running through the prison and we're running through the building. We're checking everything. And then we get to the front door and, oh, hey, look, the hatch is open and somebody didn't break in. Oh, no, somebody broke out. Wyatt broke out. Where is he going? Well, he's going to a little bar in an undisclosed location. And we see a pretty blonde at the bar, Wyatt looking like he's been struck dumb by God. And the next thing we know, the two are embracing, and we find out that the woman in the bar is Wyatt's formerly deceased wife, Jessica.
What?
Plot twist!
What?
See, I told you the sex was too easy. I told you the sex was way too easy.
Right.
So now we have a problem on our hands.
We do.
Because Wyatt's in love with Lucy, but now his dead wife is alive. So something happened where either Rittenhouse went back in time and restored her back to life, or something they did in the 40s brought her back to life. Or Rittenhouse brought her back and they've had her this whole time.
I think that's the key.
I think that's the key, because otherwise she would have made contact before now, so we're going to find out the consequences to that one probably in the next few episodes, but holy crap.
I gotta bring up the one thing that also made me pop. It was when they were negotiating with the dude in jail. What was his name again?
Garcia.
Garcia. And it's like, they, you know, we get you limited internet access. He's like, I don't need a Netflix subscription. I popped.
Right?
I popped.
That was awesome. That was so awesome.
But yes, there's lots of drama that is going to unfold because, you know, sex always comes with strings, especially when there are loved ones from the past who could just magically show up right after you bang.
That's not awkward. That's not awkward at all.
No, not awkward whatsoever.
So that does it for Timeless Episode 3. All in all, this was a really good episode. Next time we're going to the 1700s-ish, somewhere in there. We're going way back. We're going to go visit Ben Franklin's mama. That's how far back we're going.
Hey.
So, Mama Franklin, here we come. But yeah, episode 3, definitely worth watching. I would check it out. All the episodes are. Watch the entire season. We need to get it like gangbuster ratings so it'll come back for season 3. Because I'll be very upset if it doesn't come back for season 3.
So, yes, make sure you go watch it. We'll be back in 2 weeks for another episode of the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless. As it's Easter Sunday next week, so there is no show. Don't blame us, blame them. They're not airing one.
Right. Not our fault. Totally not our fault. We would have it on every day if we could. I would anyway.
Make sure you check out all the other editions of the Rack Extra Reviews, including the Royals, if you're a fan of... How would you describe the Royals?
If you're a fan of drama, check out our review of the Royals.
There you go.
If you're a fan of wrestling, check out our book reviews of the upcoming WWE WrestleMania magazine, and also the rest of our book reviews, which are generally wrestling related, so... Yeah, awesome stuff.
And if you want to win a wrestling book, the Book of Booty, play WrestleMania Pick'em. Want more details? Check out our main show, The Rack, airing live Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Got something for us to review? Simple. Contact us. You can tweet us at Rack Radio Show, or you can email us, contact@rackradioshow.com.
But that does it for us. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack Extra Reviews right here at wildtalkradio.com. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with Timeless Episode 4. You don't want to miss it. Till then, bye!